Sunday, September 12th, 2010. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain from YourSalesPlayBook.com, and today we're going to talk about conversation starters when you're networking. Now, this is a question that I am asked all the time. People will come to me and say, what is the best way to get a conversation going when you're networking? Or even better yet, how can I have conversations when I'm networking where I'm not going to turn into like that ShamWow dude and I'm going to sound like I'm doing this infomercial and I'm pitching people and all that. So I have a lot of tips for you today, and it really is going to start with two things. The first thing is preparation and then mindset. Let's talk about the preparation. The very last thing that I do before any networking event is I scan the news. And my reason behind that is that typically, if it's something going on in the world or in the business world, it might be something that people either want to talk about or maybe I can work into the conversation somehow. And it gives me a lot of extra ammunition to keep some conversation going. So some specific resources that I like to embrace would be, the first one is Business Week. And the other one is the Wall Street Journal. And I tend to focus more on business stories. And my reason for that is, yes, I'm concerned about what's going on in the world, and I want to know what's going on in the world and be able to talk about it. But I find that if maybe I have too much of like world politics going on or some of these other things, that either the conversation can take a very negative type of direction, which I don't want, or I could get into things where people just have such firm beliefs that it's really heading into kind of an area that I want to avoid. So again, I stick with more business stories. Maybe that makes me a bore, but that's what I do. So Business Week, Wall Street Journal. Now, you cannot focus so much on international and national business news that you don't know what's going on in your own backyard. So a resource that you definitely want to look into would be your local business journals. Always a good thing to do. And last but not least, here's one that people miss all the time. You're going to want to look on the website of the organization that's hosting the networking event. So let's just say it's my local Chamber of Commerce. The day of the event, I'm going to want to stop by that website, see what's going on. Again, it's pretty, there's a high probability that people might want to talk about things that are going on in the organization. So again, I want that. Now, the other part of this deal is mindset. And this is huge. This right here, I think, is tremendous. The biggest thing that I see that salespeople, myself included, just miss it completely when it comes to networking is not understanding that it's really not about us. It's about them. So it's really not about us telling our story or one-upping them or telling them all the wonderful things about our company. It's about giving them an opportunity to talk. And it kind of goes back to this thing that I've been saying a lot of, and I always feel like the world's biggest wuss when I talk about it, and it's like warm and fuzzy moment with Uncle Paul, but it's really how I feel. I really believe everyone has a story and wants to be heard, and it's really a brilliant business strategy for you to have to be the person that wants to listen to those stories. Because again, everyone's on the move, everyone's on the go, everyone's so busy trying to get their story in that not too many people are actually willing to stop and listen and show a genuine interest in someone else. So from a strategic perspective, I think it can be a very brilliant strategy for you. But here's what you have to watch out for. I really believe that that strategy is counterintuitive. And what I mean by that, as sales professionals and as people that really want to conquer the world, we're wired to, and I hate this expression, but to pitch, right? And to present and to tell them all the great things about our company and all the great things about our products and services and even tell them all the great things about ourselves. We do it. We all tell our little war stories. Well, we really have to get away from that, and we have to kind of resist the urge to one-up and resist the urge to tell them all about our products and services. Now, this is where a lot of people right about now want to push back. And I don't blame you. You might be saying, well, then why would I go to a networking event if I can't tell my story? Well, this is what you have to realize. The challenge for us as sales professionals is that as much as we want to tell our story and we want to go into product information dump and talk about our companies and pitch, everybody else wants to do the same thing. So here's what you have. You have a networking event basically with everybody fighting to get a word in edgewise. And to me, that is completely ineffective. So again, I want to stand out. That is my strategy. I want to be more compelling than you. And I really believe that the key to me being more compelling is not really so much me having a better story. I've got lots of them. It's more me getting you to tell your story. And here's what I found. Again, you might be thinking, but when do I get to tell my story? Well, once we give them an opportunity to say what they have to say, and we show we really express a genuine interest in them, I think naturally most people are going to say, hey, well, enough about me. Why don't you tell me about you? And that does not happen all the time. People, when you give them the opportunity, they're going to go on a lot about what they have to do. And I don't think there's any downside to that, because really business is about connecting with people. And we've heard that people love to do business with, you know, people that they like. Well, one of the ways to be liked and one of the best ways to connect is to really get an opportunity to hear their story and understand them. You have a unique opportunity. And I also maintain that they're not ready to hear your story when they want to tell their story. And I think that's just very ineffective for us to try to talk over to them, so to speak, and tell our stories when they really don't want to hear it yet. So people ask me all the time, when does that happen? It's a very difficult question for me to answer. Because again, rather sarcastically, I'll say to people, when does love happen? Does it happen at a certain time or on a certain date or after so many dates or whatever it is? The real answer is it happens when it happens. And connection with people happens when it happens. I don't really believe that we can put that down to an exact moment, but you'll know that it's starting to happen because you'll observe it in their body language. You'll hear it in their speech and their tonality, and they'll move maybe a little bit closer to you and a higher degree of eye contact. But again, I want you to focus on their story. But now let's get into exactly how you can focus on their story. So really a couple of questions that I want you to think about. The first thing too, hopefully by now you've gotten their card, right? And you know what company they work for. Well, it's probably not a bad idea to find out what their company does. Again, genuine interest. You don't ever want to just like rifle through questions because those are on your list. And that's just a big, big mistake. So what you're going to do is you want to find out what their company does. One of my favorite questions to ask after that is, what challenges do they help their clients embrace? I think that's a great question to ask. Again, a lot of these things, I'm finding out things that I can use later in the process. And at the same time, I am able to connect with them. The next thing that I do, I love to ask them who their biggest competitor is and what they do better. I have strategic reasons for that question. Again, one of my reasons, again, aside from really understanding their business, I love to find out how a company views themselves in terms of their competitors and what they do better. And I'll find many times that that's a question that makes people stop and take notice and really think. And that's, again, one of the benefits of a good question. It kind of brings them inward. But strategically, it's a very good question for me to ask, because what I want to do is I want to take every lead and every contact I have and multiply it somehow. That's efficient and that's a great use of my time. So one of the things that I'll do is when I ask that question, right away, either I'm thinking, wow, maybe that's an industry I wasn't thinking about, and now I have the name of two other companies, or it could be an insurance policy for me, because let's face it, this contact that I have, this brand new contact might not go anywhere, and now I have the names of two or three other competitors that I can go after. So think about that as well. And then the other thing that I do, and this is just so, so important, and it's a great rapport-building question, is just ask them to really tell you about who an ideal client would be for them. And I think that that shows them that you are a valuable person to connect with. And I tell people that I'm very proud of the fact, one of the ways I bring value to my network, and one of the ways you guys should be bringing value to your network, is consider yourself a matchmaker and learn what people do and get people together that need to be together. People are going to, you're going to find, are going to want to be around you, again, because you're bringing up their real estate value. So I always ask that question, who would an ideal client be for you? And definitely you can take action on that. Let's move on. The other thing that I do right about now, and again, these are in no particular order, I need to transition. And if you notice what I'm doing is I'm kind of starting off talking about the company. I like to find out about their role within the company. But then the other thing, too, is that I need to connect with them on a personal level. One thing I've learned, I'm sure you've seen it, too, is that the true connection is when we connect with a person. You don't really connect with the business, right, or with a product. You connect with people. And that's what we have to do, again, because that person behind that social mask has a story. They want to be heard. We need to express the interest. So one of the things that I'll do at this point, I'm going to transition. And when I really use that word deliberately, because I don't want to just jump into questions that are more intrusive or more intimate when I haven't earned that level of rapport yet. So what I'm going to do is, which is a nice safe question, I'm going to ask them if they travel much and if you get to go to any cool places, right? And again, is it business or personal travel? That right there can start just a whole incredible conversation. Let's take a quick time out on that note. Don't you dare, when you're getting answers to these questions, start returning fire with a war story of your own. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to be interesting. You need to be compelling. And you need to keep this from sounding like an interrogation and that, you know, like, what do we have to have, like, our attorney here to help me answer these questions? What's with all the questions? You a cop or something? You want to have it conversational, no doubt. But our urge, remember, this is counterintuitive. What my intuition is telling me is that I need to then match their story with one of my own. Resist that urge. Make it about them. You will stand out in that particular event. So another question that I'll do, and I love to ask this question. I guess all these questions are my favorite, right? I'll ask them if there's any place on their wish list as far as travel. That can get me some really cool answers. I also like to ask them, what do they like to do when they aren't conquering the world at their company? That's the question now that's really going to start giving me lots of ammunition, because I might find out they love to cook, or they love a particular sport, or maybe that they have grandchildren or hanging out with their kids and stuff. And I can really get some great conversation here. But also, again, strategically, one of the things I always try to train on is try to match your product or service beyond the business benefit. Perhaps there is something to them personal that they can get from your product or service that can help them get home a little earlier to enjoy some of those nicer things in life. Or one of the things I like to say in the printing industry is that part of my job with my clients is to take them out of the printing industry, right? They have 75,000 other things, and that's my job to take care of it. I want to be their specialist for that. So again, it's a good one, and it gets them talking. Next, I will ask this question word for word. I'll say family, dogs, cats, pets. Again, the question is family, dogs, cats, pets. The reason why I say it like that is because hopefully by now I've had an accurate read that they are open for me getting maybe a little more personal, right? Hopefully I'm not getting too personal. But if I made a mistake and I'm asking them about if they have family, and maybe I'm crossing a line, well, that's why we have the dogs, cats, and pets, to kind of balance it out and just kind of diffuse any awkwardness that there could be there. And the other thing, too, is that I often think, man, what if I'm asking about family and maybe they're having some challenges starting a family or something? Boy, I would hate to be that guy, right? So again, if I bring up dogs, cats, or pets, it can kind of bring us down maybe a more pleasant road. And then what I always like to do, because by now I found out a lot of business things about them, hopefully I found out a lot of personal things, I ask them how they balance it all. I think this alone could be a topic of just an awesome conversation with people, because we all know that all of us are just trying to figure this out, right? We're all just human beings just trying to balance all the things we love to do most in life, conquering the world, keeping our boss happy, and that question alone could just get you talking for a while. So the other tip that I want to give you, it came from my dad, and I've talked about this before. People love to recommend things. And I think the reason why is that it makes you feel very proud, and it makes you feel, I think it just kind of addresses your ego a little bit, if you ask me. So what I'll do is I will ask people, if appropriate, to recommend something to me. So let's just say that when I ask my travel question, and I find out maybe that either they go to places that I want to go to or that I go to regularly, what I'll do is I'll ask them for things to do in the area. I'll ask them for some cool restaurants or great hotels to stay in. The other thing that I'll do, too, is maybe wherever their place of business is, what are some cool restaurants out your way? Or what is it to do out at your neck of the woods? And the next one is just completely selfish, by the way. But I love to find out what people are reading because, as you guys know, I am just an information junkie. And God forbid I have 2 or 3 days without reading some new material. I feel like I'm rusting. So what I like to do is just find out what people are reading. I don't ask it like the old corny, read any good books lately. That's a little cliched for me. But I'll just simply ask them, what are some things that you're reading that you would recommend? So what I want to leave you with is a very cool resource. And it addresses, there's lots on networking, by the way, and lots we can talk about. But there's a book out there that addresses the whole concept that we try to hit on today is how do we get these conversations going? Hopefully, some of these things that I've offered to you will spark better ideas of your own. You want to make it your own, not really a scripted question from me. But there's a book called The Fine Art of Small Talk by Deborah Fine. The Fine Art of Small Talk by Deborah Fine. I highly recommend it. It'll give you a lot of great tips to help you with your networking conversations. This is Paul Castain with YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I am inviting you to sign up for all the sales tips that we have on the blog. There's a really cool little sign-up box at the end of every one of my blog posts. Sign up, and one thing you guys know about me, I don't sell anything. I don't sell the list. You're never going to get some kind of a sales pitch from me. I truly love to give back, so if you'd like to continue getting these tips, sign up for the newsletter, or sign up for the blog, rather. The other thing, too, stop by the LinkedIn group. If you want to get involved on LinkedIn and you want to hang out with not only some really cool people, but you want to just really just throw around some great sales ideas and strategies without all the spam and the infomercial and all the articles that are in the other groups, then I would highly recommend you stop by the LinkedIn group, Sales Playbook. Once again, Paul Castain with YourSalesPlaybook.com. I'm inviting you to get out, do some networking, try these ideas, and you have an awesome week ahead. Take care.